I want to drill down in just a couple of issues. You know, you're talking about climate change. What do you think the West Slope needs to do, or where is the focus, the rural focus, to combat climate change?
It's going to be different than it is in a large metropolitan area, obviously. And it's because of the way it impacts us is differently. It's impacting ag every single day. It's impacting our public lands every single day. And so the types of issues and the things we need to be thinking about are building resiliency in our stream systems, finding creative ways to keep water in our streams, finding creative ways to help with forest health. Those are the things we really need to be doing that I think are so important out here in rural America that are different than what you're thinking about in terms of reducing emissions and things like that inside of major metropolitan areas. And what we think of as individuals out here and what can we do, it's a little bit daunting because everything seems like it is a big lift. And so we really just need to dig in together, and we can make those lifts happen without question. There's some creative work being done on methane recapture and things like that that I think are areas that we really can focus on, and I think can also provide potentially some reusable resources, if you will, as well as maybe transition parts of our economy that are really suffering right now, giving us some. We have to meaningfully address the fact that we are losing significant industries in the western portion of SD8. We just recently heard that the Kalawao coal mine is going to close down. There are coal-fired power plants in northwestern Colorado that are going to be shutting down. And one of the things that I want to advocate for is making sure that we're helping those communities make those transitions. And it has to be more than lip service to training programs that mean that families have to be displaced from their homes where they've watched their kids play soccer or football and move to whole new areas. We need to help develop economies in those locations so that communities can stay whole, because really that's the fabric of rural America and rural Colorado, is every one of those small communities that a lot of us fondly remember growing up in and that we have here in the Roaring Fork Valley. And when I talk about this issue of really reinvesting and why it's so important to me, it's easy sometimes if you're down on the Front Range to say, well, they should just, you know, they should get a job in Aurora, or they should get a job in Colorado Springs, or they should just move. And I always ask people, do you like the school that your kid goes to? Do you like your kid's friends? And they say, of course I do. Well, if I told you that you couldn't live here anymore, how would you feel about that? And the answer is always, well, I wouldn't like that. And it's the same issue that we're facing here. Mm-hmm. And so that's a place where I think we really need to be focused. And to be honest with ourselves, that these are big, impactful changes that are going on in our energy and extraction economies, and we owe it to our citizens to help them through it.
Tell me some ideas that you have to solve some of those problems.
Well, one that I can't control that would be fantastic, that the state needs desperately, would be a really meaningful, large infrastructure bill coming out of D.C. Unfortunately, they're so dysfunctional, I doubt that's going to happen, because when you think about the amount of infrastructure that needs to be replaced in the United States, if we could transition folks who have been running large equipment in a coal mine to running large equipment rebuilding the infrastructure this country desperately needs, that would be a fantastic place to start. And I think those kinds of projects and retraining are where we need to focus our energy. And hopefully, as we do that, the other place we will hopefully see some movement, and one that I've advocated for with the current administration, is really meaningful economic development investment out in western Colorado.
What would that look like?
Well, it could look like trying to bring new industries, whether it's something not just wind farms, but maybe something similar to the Vestas plant that is down in Pueblo County. It employs a little over 2,500 people. It's a great example of where, with good investment locally and a company who wants to work with the workforce, that you can have a great manufacturing facility that you can transition a lot of those similar types of jobs. And it's not servicing the wind turbines, it's building them. Okay. And that's, you know, a really important component of what's going on in the country, trying to get some manufacturing back. And so we can look to areas like western Colorado that we could be doing those types of things. And really taking there, again, that success of the economy on the Front Range and taking some of that success and recognizing that the reason all those people are there is because they drive through the Eisenhower Tunnel into SD8, and really taking some of that money, investing it out here, particularly in the westernmost section of SD8, in real economic development, bringing businesses in. I don't have every answer, and I think that is something that every politician should say up front and be very honest about. They aren't easy answers. But if we have a commitment out of both the legislature and the administration to invest in those areas, I think we can make really great things happen.
Affordable housing, as you mentioned, is a giant issue that just doesn't seem to go away. Recently, with the Lofts development out at Glenwood Meadows and Glenwood Springs, there's been some pushback about whether that's affordable or not. I think it's up to $2,500 for one bath, one bedroom apartment, and up to $3,000 for two bath, two bedroom apartment, something like that. In that range, I may be a little off. And a lot of people are saying that's not affordable unless you want to have four roommates and or work three jobs and not have a life. Mm-hmm. What are your ideas about how to create truly affordable housing? And I guess before you answer that, how would you define affordable?
Affordable means something different to just about everybody, honestly. And so it's a little bit of an arbitrary number when you say it's 80% of AMI, it's 120% of AMI. Affordable is, what does it take for somebody not to be living in their car in the Roaring Fork Valley, for instance? I think that's what it is. And what that means is a wide variety of housing stock at a wide variety of prices. And one of the problems that communities face, and I am hopeful that the legislature this session will address it, is the Telluride decision. The Colorado Supreme Court said that on matters of rent control, that is a matter of statewide concern, and so local municipalities cannot regulate or set rent prices. So that takes an important tool out of the toolbox for every single municipality that's dealing with this issue.
So that makes rent control in Colorado illegal?
It makes rent control a matter of statewide concern, and so that means that the state can implement it, but that these local municipalities can't individually say, we're going to set on, say, as a condition of approval of a development, set the maximum rent at X in terms of that development process. There have been a couple of bills at the state legislature, both last session and this session, trying to address the Telluride decision to allow municipalities more flexibility and more local control on these issues, because obviously what works in Denver is going to be different than what works in Breckenridge or what works in Steamboat or what works in Glenwood Springs. So improving the number of tools that they have available to them is the first step, I think, on addressing the housing problem. Mm-hmm. The other one is housing stock. You know, we struggle in all of these mountain communities because the cost of labor is high, the cost of materials are high. All of those costs drive our costs up. And that's something that's very hard to work with. And I think you are going to see more and more municipalities focusing on partnering with development teams on trying to come in and develop affordable housing projects or housing projects that address that range of needs. I think the other thing that's maybe changing a little bit is that the idea of home ownership is not what it used to be. And I think a lot of folks are just not believing that the economy is ever going to support them doing that in the younger generations, and are also maybe not wanting to commit in the same way that they did before. They can remember what 2008 looked like. And so trying to create that variety of housing stock, you know, giving more local control is the first step in my mind. Getting rid of Telluride, good place to start.
Being the Glenwood Springs city attorney, and being involved in the fight against the proposed Mid-Continent limestone quarry expansion, would it be a conflict of interest to be state senator and the city attorney working on this issue?
No, not at all. Recognizing that the legislature doesn't have regulatory authority over this particular mine, that to the extent the state has regulatory authority, it's housed in the executive branch. It's not housed in the legislative branch. So, no, there wouldn't be a conflict. And, in fact, it was one of the most important questions in my mind was, can I continue to do both? Mm-hmm. Because it is an issue that is of such importance to me. It's been 20 years this fall that Glenwood has been a client of mine. Mm-hmm. I've watched the community develop into what it is today and work so hard to be what it is today and help it create that vision, that to walk away from this mind fight was something I was unwilling to do. And so it had to be, I can do both, or I wouldn't be running for SD8.
Carl Hanlon, Democratic candidate, challenging Republican incumbent Senator Bob Rankin for the 8th District. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you so much, Amy.